We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Good to be back.
It is.
It's good to be back.
Not even lying.
All right. So you're going back to work. I said, I'm going to the studio.
I don't know if I call it work.
I don't like to call it work. I really don't.
On the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms, Toyota of Hollywood, on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. It is Tom D'Angelo, who writes for the Palm Beach Post. You know, I wonder, because they stopped covering the Miami Heat, essentially, the Palm Beach Post. Tom D'Angelo used to be on the Heat beat for the Palm Beach Post, and then it was a couple of lean years.
Yeah.
But as we've said on today's show, like, there's some life again. Pat Riley and the guy that we should never have doubted created some magic. And I wonder if the Palm Beach Post is...
Oh, just Jimmy? I don't know if Jimmy moves that needle that far.
Jimmy, if you add Chris Paul, which I don't think Tom D'Angelo is that much of a fan of doing. Russell Westbrook, for sure. Had they been able to get Russell Westbrook, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's bring him on. Tom D'Angelo from the Palm Beach Post. Is there going to be a shift, you think, at the Post?
Speaking of good to be back, that's me on your show.
It's been a way too long, Tom, but you've been covering too much golf for my...
golf and college football starting up, so I can make an appearance once in a while.
That's true. August 24th, cannot get here soon enough.
In fact, in about, 17 hours, I'll be on a plane headed to Charlotte.
ACC Media Days?
ACC Media Days, absolutely. Yeah.
Very exciting.
But, I need you guys to be my bosses, Palm Beach Post, to help me get back on this Miami Heat beat.
Well, Jimmy Butler, that adds some sizzle, right?
it does, but the problem is the Palm Beach Post Sports Department is down to four people. Two of them cover the Dolphins. One covers high school, and then there's me. So there's a lot of other stuff left, and with all the local golfers winning majors, in fact, it's been the last five majors. If you count that TPC, the last five majors have been won by a Palm Beach County golfer. So that's kind of ridiculous.
That's been taking up your time and your energy, which is why we haven't talked to you in a long time.
Tom, stop sleeping, man. Stop sleeping. That's wasting time.
You cover the golf during the day. They don't play at night. And then you get your ass down to the American Airlines Arena. What the hell's going on?
That's pretty tough from Pebble. I will tell you what, it's got me trips to Pebble Beach, to Bethpage Black, to the Masters. So that part of it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's not too shabby. So you wrote something, though, on Saturday that essentially says you do not take Chris Paul if you're the Miami Heat unless you get some of your draft picks back, which they had, you know, which have circuitously ended up with OKC. So I know it would be really funny if they were able to get Chris Paul and their draft picks back. So, but you're not Chris Paul on the face of it for you, too much money over 3 years for what you believe his production is going to be.
Way too much money. And here's the problem is this is, number one, you want to get, as I said, the Heat have all the leverage. So you get everything you demand. You get your two draft kickbacks. That's essential. You have to get your two draft kickbacks. And you have to send out $38 million. So that's not so bad from the Heat standpoint because, you know, Goran Dragic is one of my favorite people ever. I've been doing this for 40 years. And I would hate to see him sent and stuck in Oklahoma City for a year. But he has $19 million. If this deal is made, he has to be in it. There's no other way it can be made without him being in it, and it kind of makes sense. They need a point guard. And then you say, look, you're not going to give – the other thing is you're not going to give them justice to Tyler Hero or Bam Adebayo. You're not going to do that. So you take Deion, you take James Johnson. Okay, we've given you $9 million, then we're getting back too bad. You want to get rid of him? We'll see how bad you want to get rid of him. And, you know, the big thing about the salary is on the third year, he's not going to contend for a championship this year. So whether Goran Dragic's your point guard or Chris Paul's your point guard, it probably doesn't make much of a difference. I think the ceiling is fourth at the outside, but, you know, fifth in the East. It's either way. But in 3 years, when Chris Paul is 37 and probably playing in about 52 games, if that many, he's going to be making $47 million. That's insane. And that is the year right now where they have room for a max player. And that is the year Bradley Beal is a free agent. So that's two summers from now. So that's, you don't want to, that summer to have a 37-year-old Chris Paul taking up $47 million of your cap space, and then with Jimmy Butler, you'd have no more room for a max player. I just don't see the Heat. I do not see the Heat doing this.
And, Tom, you kind of hit it right there, but minus the money, minus, you know, the max player, just all the free agent stuff we know we have to take into account.
Mm-hmm.
You just said it. Chris Paul does not make this team a 41-win team to a 51-win team.
No, and I will argue that this team with Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, and James Johnson is better than this team without them and with Chris Paul. It's probably still a better team in that way. You know, so there's no upside at all for me for this deal. You know, you would have the only thing you could look at and say, well, 2 years from now, you're not going to have Goran because he's a free agent next year unless he comes back at some stretch. It depends how Goran performs this year, but he could probably make him – he still will be a productive player. He probably will – there's a chance he can go to a team that's in contention. If a contending team absolutely needs a point guard, you know, Goran's going to be the perfect fit next year because he's not a max guy. But, you know, so say Goran doesn't come back. Okay, so you got a Chris Paul as your point guard for 2 years. But still, you add Chris Paul to this team, Jimmy Butler, and the other guys you have in this team in 2 years, they're not competing for anything. So, no, I don't think it's an upgrade at all on the court. So that's aside all everything else we talked about, the money and, you know, not getting those draft picks. Now, the key, the big thing about the draft picks is, if you get those two picks back, it unlocks every pick the Heat has in the future, a number one pick to be traded. Right now, they cannot trade a number one pick at all because the only one that the closest one they can trade is 2028, and they can't trade that because you can only trade them 7 years in advance to the NBA rule. So right now, they don't even have a number one pick to trade. But if they get the 21 and 23 pick, they all can be traded, and they have them all, and they would have them all in their. They would have them all. They haven't traded any others. So it's really weird how that works out because it's only two picks. It unlocks seven, but it actually would unlock seven picks that they could trade. So then, if next summer the Wizards see Bradley Beal is balking on any extension, which he already has, in fact, and they're thinking we're not going to get anything for him, and they want to go the Anthony Davis route that New Orleans went, the Heat have plenty of picks to send him, and maybe you can get Bradley Beal here a year early. You're not getting him here a year early if you trade for Chris Paul. You're not getting him here a year early if you don't have those draft picks.
Tom DeAngelo is with us. He writes for the Palm Beach Post. So you're saying your opinion is the Heat with Jimmy Butler and Chris Paul is no better, maybe mm-hmm. worse than the Heat with Jimmy Butler and Goran Dragic and Deion Waiters and whatnot.
And Deion and James Johnson. Is there a huge difference between Goran and Chris Paul? Goran's been the better player last 2 years. 2 years ago, Goran's an all-star more recently than Chris Paul. Chris Paul, the other part of this, too, is you've got to take in Chris Paul's health. He's played 50, he's missed 24 games, I guess, each of the last 2 years. He's played 50-something games each of the last 2 years. He'll probably have the more dynamic game more frequently. You know, like he had in game seven, I think he had 27 points for the Rockets this series against the Golden State this year. But I'm not convinced he's that great an upgrade over Goran. Goran's a nice, steady leader, and I think Goran's a better leader than Chris Paul. Like Chris Paul, I don't think, is a great locker room guy. We've had several players have said he was just a bad teammate. And look what happened with James Harden. You know, this past, there was definitely a rift there. And that started this. There's something he and James Harden didn't get along. So all that considered, and Goran is the consummate teammate. All that considered, I don't think there's any upgrade on the court if you take those three out and add Chris Paul.
Are you impressed with what Pat Riley was able to accomplish?
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, we talked about this. I mean, we had kind of written him off and talked about him as a relic.
Yeah.
And then he kind of shut us up because without any assets or without any kind of really viewable path, he somehow got Jimmy Butler jettisoned a bad Hassan Whiteside contract and was in the mix for Russell Westbrook and now Chris Paul. It's pretty amazing.
Right. It's probably up to him. I mean, he probably could make the deal for Chris Paul if he really wanted to. So, $32 million over the salary cap, $32 million, and he comes away with Jimmy Butler. Look, not the elite free agent group. You know, not the Kawhi and Kyrie and Klay Thompson. Not that group, but the tier below. Believe me, ask the Knicks if they'd want Jimmy Butler. He has addition by subtraction, getting rid of Hassan Whiteside. That was unbelievable. Now people are going to say, yeah, but they're still not close to a championship. You know what? They're a lot closer to competing and putting themselves in the picture to contend for a championship than they were a month ago. And it's the first step. And there are players now, and as Jimmy Butler has just shown, there are still players who want to come to play for the Heat. And if there's a way to get them, you know, he'll get them. And, you know, even though during the last 3 years when everybody's starting to write him off and say, you know, maybe his time has passed, he got in the room with Kevin Durant, with Gordon Hayward. He more so than 27 other teams in both of those cases were not able to do that. If you do that three times, you're probably going to hit on one. You know, and he did hit on one. Jimmy Butler. He didn't get Durant. He didn't get Gordon Hayward. Last year, they had no chance of getting him in the conversation with anybody. And then third year, got in the room with one of the top free agents, and he got him. And he found a way to get him without the money. So, yeah, I would trust that if there's a way in the next 2 years, I think the Jimmy Butler contract is probably Pat's last four. My guess is this is his final, if you look at it, his final, you know, contract, his final 4 years. And within that 4 years, if you can get Bradley Beal, then with Butler and Beal, you'll have a couple of other guys. Somebody else will want to come here. I think there's probably one more run. I'm not saying they're going to win a championship, but there's one more run where they're competing for a title before he retires.
Tom, can you please tell the people to stop trying to calm me down about Tyler Hero and how good he is? The man's balling in summer league.
He is. It is summer league, and I'm sure you heard that. And that's what
yes.
Tell people to stop saying. But you know, how can they not be excited? I mean, this is far more. If you had a redraft after summer league, Tyler Hero's going in the top 10. They're getting far more than they expected from this. At this point, they've gotten far more than they expected. You expected a shooter, but there's so many other things, and I know Eric Glass told the guys out there about his court awareness, and he seems to be playing, you know, beyond his years, his maturity on the court, his ball handling, his passing ability, and of course we know he can shoot, something the Heat desperately need. They need some three-point shooting. So I get it. I get the excitement over him, but it's what it's best you can hope for right now with him. The absolute best you can hope for right now with him is what you've seen. But let's wait and see. You know, there will be games this year. He probably doesn't get off the bench. I'm guessing there will be games he doesn't get off the bench. Unless he comes out of the gate and does this same thing against the varsity teams in the NBA, then he's going to be playing a lot. But my guess is still that he's going to be integrated, and it's going to take a little bit of time. But it looks like they got themselves, you know, as they usually do. You know, they did it with Jay Rich is the most recent best example. They found themselves somebody that wasn't really on a lot of people's radar, and they may have gotten themselves a really, really nice guy for the a really, really nice pick for the 14th.
But you're not ready to jump in feet first,
really,
like our producer Solana believes that Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero are the new Splash Brothers.
I got it. The Mash Brothers.
The Mash Brothers.
Like the show was very white.
Oh, interesting.
I would take Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero and any shooting game you want to now put them on the court during an NBA game. I'm not quite there yet, but any shooting game you want to play, I'll take them both because they both can shoot.
So, Tom, if I already proclaimed Tyler Hero as a future Hall of Famer, would you say it's a bit too much already?
Maybe. let's see. He'd have to give him – if he retires now, will he be in the Hall of Fame in 5 years?
Is there a Summer League Hall of Fame?
Could he get in 5 years if he just says right now I'm done? Might he get in 5 years?
Yeah, it's possible. He's certainly certainly up for debate.
No, I back off that a little bit. Yeah. Let's see. First of all, let's get him to get in a game, an NBA game, and then maybe start one or two games. And then see if he's a Hall of Famer.
All right, so you want to actually see him play in an NBA basketball game before?
I want to wait till mid-November before I anoint him a Hall of Famer.
Tom has high standards.
I mean, really,
good.
Tom.
Yeah.
Goodness.
I am asking a lot there, but let's go 5 games.
Tom DeAngelo. Read his work in the Palm Beach Post, palmbeachpost.com. Thank you, Tom.
Okay, more football, less golf, more basketball, less golf.
Yeah, man, football's going to be here before you know it. Like I said, Dolphins training camp next week. Next week,
so we got a preseason game in what, less than a month?
Christmas in July. Woo! I mean, they were even talking about like ESPN today. You could see the shift was already starting to take place to NFL stuff. They were really getting into NFL stuff. So it's
Odell
here.
Beckham and Mike Tomlin are fighting. What's going on?
One of the topics, I think it was on First Take. One of the topics, I think, was who do the Steelers have to worry about more? Like, this is funny. It was just funny to me on July 15th. It was like the Browns or...
No, it was who should be more concerned with Odell Beckham, the Browns or the Steelers?
Right, that's what it was. Yeah,
and I was looking at the storyline like, that's where we're at?
I do like it, though, that the NFL is back. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come right back after this. Glad to be back. Somebody texts in, glad you guys are back. We're both glad to be back.
Very glad.
Had an amazing time in Japan. So I brought Solana and Crowder a gift. So they have, in Japan, when I tell you vending machines everywhere, every 3 inches, there are vending machines. There's a few. There's a million amazing things about Japan. Could not have had a better time. That country is an amazing place, amazing people. We had a great time. The food I was fascinated by, you know, obviously the sushi and the fish.
Yeah.
Like, I was commenting to my wife, you know, sometimes you bite a piece of sushi here and, you know, you want like half the piece, but it doesn't tear properly, whatever. The tuna, it falls apart. I can't even explain.
Oh, I know.
How fresh the fish is. Like, it is, it's ridiculous. But I brought
tiny portions though.
Yes.
Because I've heard that tiny portions.
There's very small portions, and they don't do. You know, there's some really interesting things about Japan. You know, like in America, a big upsell is to get you to buy soda, and they're refilling it every 3 minutes. They don't have it at most places on the menu. You can get sodas in any vending machine, and really weird, wild ones. But at a restaurant, they don't drink during meals the way that Americans do.
Really?
They'll bring you sometimes a very small cup of water. They'll never come back and check on you. Like, it's
a different culture.
It is so different. But
no
the fish.
Hot sake?
Like hot sake, but like you get a sake, like that's pretty much it. Like that's the one that you're drinking for like
the whole meal?
It's again, depends on where you go. We wanted to try a lot of these little hole in the wall places that we had seen on Anthony Bourdain and whatnot. And so it's just a whole different experience. I had Instagrammed out video of we were in this Nishiki Market, which is in Kyoto, and it's a famous food market where they have all the different food vendors, and it's really mostly locals, but there are some tourists. But like we ate octopus. I don't know if you saw the video, but it was small octopus, and it was a quail's egg shoved into the octopus's head. So it made the head more bulbous.
That's
but
cool.
You were to eat the entire thing at once, and it's served cold. Mm. And
The egg was boiled.
It was a hard boiled egg. Yeah, but a quail's egg, you know, tiny. But
quail's eggs, so underrated.
Are they?
No, really underrated.
Are they?
You ever had a quail egg on a burger?
Now I have not. The octopus was, I mean, you've had calamari before, yeah. Maybe squid. Solana had told me before the show, I think, that he's had squid or whatnot. But it was like, you know, it's cold and it's chewy and whatever. But we ate it. It was something different. Wagyu beef, we tried that. That is the greatest meat I've ever tried in my life. I can't even stop thinking about it.
It's meat butter.
Meat butter. You're not even lying.
It's meat butter.
You're not even lying.
It just falls apart.
It's you can't imagine how tasty it is.
Yep.
Like you can't imagine.
You know the cows don't touch the ground or something their whole life.
They're like they're on hoverboards.
They really do.
But it has to do with like because you know. When I had told listeners that we were going to Japan, a lot of listeners reached out to me that had been there and said, hey, do this, don't do this, here's something to know. One of the listeners, a couple of the listeners, had said the eggs are the best eggs that you're ever going to eat. Now, I don't eat eggs. My son does. Like the third or fourth day, because we at the breakfast at the hotel, the scrambled eggs, he kept saying to me, these are the best scrambled eggs. I don't know why. And one of the guides was telling us about, you know, how the chickens are fed and stuff. And they really just are tastier eggs. The other thing I was blown away by was the breads. They are better bakers. We had on one day a guide who was born in France, lived in France for most of his life, has now lived in Japan for 20 years. He's married to a Japanese woman, has kids there and whatnot. But he said the Japanese chefs have overtaken the French when it comes to bread. And they have these baking competitions in France. And the Japanese have won like 6 out of the last 10 years. And they're generally they place like all 5 of the top 5 Japanese chefs. They have these boulangeries and patisseries and whatnot in Japan. The bread, I couldn't, like, just things you would never expect.
Yeah.
Could not believe how good it was. But anyway, I brought Solana and Crowder some gifts. So the chips, I loved going into the convenience stores. 7-Eleven is like a religion there. There's 7-Eleven and Lawson's and Family Mart. But they have these fresh breads and fresh sushi and seafood. And it's really like you're staggered when you walk into these places. But the variety of snacks and chips and stuff, I'm fascinated by that. And so I brought Solana what I thought was a millennial bag of chips. What is yours again? I forget.
Avocado cream cheese chips.
Right. So that the avocado and cream cheese is written in English. So I knew what it was. And I was like, oh. That sounds like Solana. The rest of the bag is in Japanese. Crowder's bag is totally in Japanese, but it looks like sushi-flavored potato chips because there's 2 pieces of tuna sushi on the package, but there's also a shrimp or a prawn
big
or something.
Big-ass shrimp on the front on top of tuna sushi.
But it's a bag of chips. Now
the chips look like little noodles. We'll see. We'll check it out.
We had a whole bunch of stuff because a ton of the stuff, like my kid is fascinated with anything that's got the, like, hot fire, you know, flaming peppers, and they have a ton of that stuff. So we would sample all those chips and whatnot. I was telling you before the show, we were on the airplane. He bought a bag of chips. To this day, I don't know. You know, we look at it. You can't read anything on it. So you're trying to figure out what the flavor is supposed to be and whatnot. I don't know what it was other than that it tasted like throw up. And I'm not even exaggerating.
Oh, those bio chips?
It was bio.
Bio chips?
It was unbelievable. But
the indigestion chips.
Are you gonna tweet out a picture of your chips? Get a picture of Crowder's chips too. I have a picture
I'm a little scared of my chips.
I have to share with you, because you probably weren't on social media for the couple of weeks.
No.
I've pretty much sworn off Twitter. I haven't gone on Twitter in a couple of weeks, and I haven't gone on it all day today or this weekend. I don't know. I got so tired of, like, you know, if someone thinks that the Heat would be better with Russell Westbrook and you don't think that, you don't have to call the person every name in the book. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm done with this.
You finally figured out Twitter's nasty?
So nasty.
Yeah,
and
man.
Japan was so nice. And the only times that I was getting disappointed was when I would flip on Twitter. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm done with that. But on Instagram, I Instagrammed out a lot of stuff. But look at this. Look at this Pringles can, right?
Oh.
Okay. Now look at what the flavor. Okay. Look at. Now what do you think?
What the hell is that?
Right. What do you think that flavor is on the Pringles?
A chicken nugget donut with barbecue sauce, wasabi, and celery?
No, it's not a bad guess. I mean, it would make sense. You know what that is?
Pimentos?
I believe it's called, like, I want to say Tekken Miyaki, but I don't know. I may be wrong on that. But it's like a deep fried ball, but inside the ball is octopus. I think.
Come on. I'm
trying to think of what else is in there. We had that. Lori and I had it. She loved it. I did not enjoy that.
Seafood chips? Because we don't have a lot of seafood chips here.
No, I'm saying we tried the actual Tekken Miyaki, like the actual ball with octopus in it, and it comes with a sauce on it and stuff. And the amazing thing is, you know, it's like these street side kiosks almost, you know, but then you walk in and then there's some seats upstairs or whatever, and it's kids doing their homework and they're eating the octopus, and it's like, you know, just kids sitting around eating fries. McDonald's had a garlic shrimp burger. I got to show you. I have to show you some of these videos because the stuff was bad. Like the pop culture stuff to me was just so fascinating.
Did you miss anything?
Yes. So
you're talking about all that you were surprised by.
Literally cannot get a plate of nachos anywhere.
They got chips and cheese, don't they?
It's just different. I'm telling you, it's really crazy different because even like the French fries, I got to show you some of these because like I got too many pictures, but I like the French fries, ones with butter and soy.
On French fries?
On French fries. There was a, look at this. Look at this. Now, did you know that? I didn't know this. The Frankfurter. Did you know that comes picture on a bone?
It doesn't come on a bone.
Well, you think they just put the bone in there?
Yes. Oh, the hot dog on a bone.
How
is that going to happen?
I don't know. You're saying they put a bone in there?
There's not a portion of a pig or a cow that's called hot dog. Hey, cut me the hot dog off of that cow.
I don't know. All right. Because, like, look at this one. The barbecue onion dog. Like, look at that barbecue sauce.
Oh, that's used motor oil.
It looks like motor oil.
Did you eat that?
It does. No, I did not eat that. I had a hot dog. We went to a Yamamori Giants game at the Tokyo Dome. One of the best things that I have ever done in my life, going to see a sporting event in a different country. I know a lot of people go to England, they'll go see a soccer match. Going to Japan and seeing a baseball game at the Tokyo Dome was one of the most fascinating experiences I've ever had traveling. It was almost like a college football atmosphere. It was just a random Thursday night game, and it was fascinating as to what they sell. The way that they, when I tell you there is a beer vendor by your seat every 30 seconds, and the beer vendors are all beautiful girls.
Yes, sir.
And they wear the beer on their back, on a backpack. They don't sell cans. It is in a tap.
They got a back keg?
I got to show this to you.
There's pretty girls walking around with back kegs.
And each one wears a different color, which connotes which brand of beer that they have. So you don't have to look around who's got Kirin and who's got, like, and then they've got, believe it or not, Coke vendors and Pepsi vendors. Most stadiums in America, it's either Coke or Pepsi. One's decked out in Coke gear, one's decked out in Pepsi gear. They walk around. It was fascinating. I'm telling you, it was fascinating. Everything was fascinating. But go ahead, try those chips.
Are they loud? Like, do they get going at the game?
Yes.
They seem like reserved people.
So it was, I think I described it as raucous yet polite.
And I don't know if that's a thing.
It was wild. That is a bucket list. I am telling you, put it on your bucket list. Going to a sporting event, it's why, you know, it's fascinating when the NFL plays in London and whatnot, and you see, you know, people get to see, but again, that's just a London crowd watching an American sport. This was a Japanese crowd. We were, I mean, so out of place. And watching just how, you know, exciting the baseball game was. Baseball is, you know, the only country that really can, well, I shouldn't say that because Latin American countries can compete with America. But Japan is just a phenomenal baseball country. But it was sold out at the Tokyo Dome. And the food offerings, that was the only place that I tried a hot dog.
Yeah.
And I a couple bites. It just
couldn't do it.
Yeah, you know, just again, it was one of those things where I ordered something and I didn't know what was on it because no one speaks English. So you just do a lot of pointing. You go, that, one. Cola? You always made fun of me yes. when we go out and I say, I'll take a cola. That works wonders in Japan.
Cola.
They say back, cola? Yeah. This was my hot dog at the Tokyo Dome.
No siree, Bob. That's mayonnaise.
I don't know.
No, son.
I don't know. I thought
I'm not eating a mayonnaise, dog.
I thought it was potato.
On top of the hot dog?
Because at one place, that's what they were selling, these potato dogs. Ah. But I don't think it... See, look at that. Creamy potato dog. but that's not what I had. I don't know. That was part of the fun of being in Japan, was eating stuff. You had no idea what was really in it. But you could, you know, I mean, some of the stuff was great. And some of the stuff you're like, yeah, I could do the rest of my life without ever eating that again.
You lost some weight.
No, I think I gained weight.
Eating potato dogs?
I mean, we ate nonstop. When I tell you the breads, I mean, they're stuffed with custards. And so, I'm telling you, it was insane eating. So anyway, eat those chips. I want to hear.
I kind of want to keep them as a souvenir more.
All right.
Because it's a pretty bag.
It is a pretty bag.
But tuna nigiri chips?
I don't know, man.
Like seafood chips? I've never eaten a seafood chip before.
I don't know. I thought of you immediately when I saw it.
Thank you.
All right. But yeah, you can't get nachos. No, couldn't nachos. Get a slice of pizza, really. Like, there's like just stuff like, that you would take for granted here.
Yeah.
Just
as a tourist, did you walk around like a shark swimming through a school of fish? Where you're just like it's known and everybody just kind of walks around you.
I mean, we stood out like sore thumbs
yes,
because there's not a ton of American tourists there. There's a lot of Chinese tourists. There's Korean tourists. Not a ton of American tourists. So you stick out like a sore thumb.
Do they point at you and laugh or anything?
No, I don't think so. There was a time, though, we were eating okonomiyaki, which but we don't know how to eat properly. You know what I mean? Like, so we would sit there and we'd watch the people next to us. Because even when they would bring you, like, we would go for udon or ramen or whatnot, and you'd have your chopsticks because it's, you know, like real thick broth, but then it's got stuff in there. But you have a big spoon ladle type thing and you've got your chopsticks. But, like, how do you do the transaction? You know, so you'd have to watch people and see how they eat it and try to replicate it. Like, and that's when we became like the focus of like people's attention, you know, and then I'd have my camera out. And, hey, take a bite of the Tekken Miyake, you know, and people got a kick out of it.
Blend in, man.
It was impossible.
Any croquetas or pastelitos?
No.
Café con leche?
No. No.
No?
No.
No, La Carrera.
I mean, they had,
how's the coffee go over there?
So they have Starbucks all over the place, okay. But not like the coffee was good. It definitely a coffee-driven society as well. But I mean, it was the food to me was the most incredible part because it is so wild. The vending machines every 30 steps. And it's everything in that vending machine. I had Instagrammed out. There was one vending machine. It was like soda, a can of meat sauce, coffee, and then some plastic spiders. Like, I mean, just wild. All right. Anyway, so you'll tweet out the pictures of the chips that I brought you guys, and we'll see what people think that they are. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve Goldstein's going to join us around 4:20. We will get info from him on what the Florida Panthers did while we were gone, because I'm not enough of a hockey fan to understand. All I know is everything that I read while we were gone is that the Panthers killed it. Just killed it. Like, this is going to be their season, and if it's not, then they're just cursed.
We'll have a knot. This is it.
And I do want to make fun of Goldie with the Knicks because I don't think we talked to him. We talked to him the final Friday that we were on the air, right?
Yes.
I think we talked to him the final Friday because didn't Roberto Luongo retire?
During the show, yeah.
Was it on that Friday or was it the Thursday before?
Maybe
the Thursday.
We talked to him right before we left.
But I do want to make fun of the Knicks because they didn't do anything during who'd the Knicks sign? They signed didn't they come out with an apology letter or a press release that said we appreciate those that are sticking with us? Yeah. I don't know. It was,
Julius Randle was a big signing.
Yeah, it was like
Wayne Ellington.
They went from Zion and Kevin Durant to Julius Randle.
Julius.
So anyway, Goldie will join us at 4:20. Let's take a quick break and come right back.
Radio.com.
Radio.com. Should we play that Dan Dakich sound? Do we have time, Solana?
Say Dan Day. I thought I said Dan Day early. I was like, Dan Day? Making headlines?
Producer of Dono and Frito?
Yes.
No, so Dan Dakich from ESPN, he's doing a summer league game with Sedano. And Sedano, they're talking about, like, you know, some of the best coaches that are in the NBA. Sedano brings up Spo, and Dakich totally dismisses Spo as a nothing. And Sedano got a little heated there. But I know that this clip got people heated that are Heat fans. But I've always told you, Spo is one of those divisive characters, even in Miami, even with all his accomplishments. Well, listen to this. This is from ESPN. This is a summer league broadcast. It's Sedano and Dan Dakich.
Hey, well, you know what? He can help my career.
Yeah, Eric Spoelstra, too, man. Eric Spoelstra is one of the top two or three coaches in this league.
Wait a second.
Oh, that's not even debatable, Doc.
Oh, that is so debatable. You can say it as sternly as you want. That's not debatable.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, give me five. You said two or three.
Okay, give me two or three more.
Popovich, Brad Stevens.
Popovich, I'll give you. I'm not giving you Brad Stevens yet.
I'm giving you Brad Stevens. Well, I'll give you Nate McMillan. I'll give you a ton of guys.
Brad Stevens, where's the championships then?
Where's Spoelstra been since LeBron left?
Oh, well, he's been deep in the playoffs.
Oh, where's Brad Stevens? He went to the finals without Kyrie Irving.
But it's not like everybody wins with LeBron, right?
Seemingly.
No, come on. Look at all the coaches he's had. That's not true.
That's so true.
No, that's
it. We mean win with.
What? I'm not trying to. You know,
if you're going to tell me Eric Spoelstra is one of the two or three coaches, that's not debatable. I would just simply say you're out of your mind.
Okay, then I'm out of my mind.
I don't think he's in the top 10.
Now you're out of your mind.
In the top 10.
He's just a guy. He's a nice coach.
Just a guy.
That's ridiculous. No, that's absurd.
That is not absurd.
A two-time champion. You're not just a guy.
Yes, you are. When you have LeBron and what have we done since LeBron?
Then you would have said that about Pat Riley after he'd left the Lakers because he didn't win for a long time until 2006 after that.
You can make a point however you want to make it.
We're doing a radio show here, you and me, I feel like. I should come on your show, or you should come on mine.
Yeah, let's do it.
I mean, that's a little dismissive. He's not even a top 10 coach in the NBA. I know there's people that love Spo down here. There's people that think Spo is the beneficiary of the big three, which there's a part of that that's true. And a lot of people, me included, think he's a little bit stubborn with his rotations and whatnot. But, I mean, not a top 10 coach in the NBA. I think that's laughable.
The top 10 thing is laughable. But saying Sedano said the top three.
Right. I don't know if he's top three. But I don't think Brad Stevens is a better coach.
No. I give it to Doc Rivers before him.
Brad Stevens was the hot coach of the month for a year. Got exposed a little bit last season. But, you know, Dan Dakich is going well. He goes deep in the playoffs. But, I mean, okay. But so Spo got two championships. Like, Brad Stevens.
What coaching, because this positionless basketball was a big part of the Spo and the Heat big three.
Correct.
Like, Spo gets no credit for the positionless stuff? Because that's where I would go
to
in my argument.
To me, the biggest point in Spo's favor is you've seen, and Sedano said it, you've seen how many coaches LeBron went through. And he'd have gone through Spo if, now again, Pat Riley having his back is one thing, but Spo, to me, was uniquely qualified to go through all the tumult of that big three when it was all new and they were figuring out as they went. Like, he didn't get caught up in any of it. Like, he did what he does. Like, and, to me, you got to give someone credit just for that.
And the story came out where LeBron, he didn't say fire Spo, but he asked Pat Riley would he want to sit back on the bench.
Right.
And Spo brushed through that, went through that, and continued to win championships.
I mean,
that's
you got to give someone, forget about the X's and O's on the court. Like, you got to give a coach credit for being able to keep that core together and get them to four NBA championships.
When you say Pat Riley, when you say Phil Jackson, when you say those guys, they have a lore before coaching.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Eric Spoelstra's path was video guy to head coach. And some people say, and this is, I've heard in the past, because like you're saying, even in South Florida, there's some people that love and hate Spoelstra. Pat Riley just brought him up and gave him a job. And that's what a lot of people say. Without Pat Riley's backing, Spoelstra would be nothing if Pat didn't have his back. Just like you said with the LeBron and Big Three thing.
But at some point, you make it your own. And Spo has done that. Like, yes, I don't think you, I just don't think you can argue that.
And don't worry, Coach Tony Fiorentino, he's put Dan Dakich in its place on Twitter yesterday.
What
so.
What did Coach Tony say?
Oh, they went back and forth.
Really? Oh, so they were responding to each other.
The last message Coach Tony said, he ended it with, and that's all I have to say about that, is he's rather listen to Pat Riley's opinion on Eric Spoelstra than Dan Dakich's.
There's an argument
what?
Under.
Pop, Doc Rivers. What about, like, Vogel?
Vogel. Watch that guy. Watch that season he's about to have in L.A.
We'll see from there, but they could turn it around. There's some other McMillan that he brought up. Like, there's other coaches that you would that you could argue with Spo. I like Spo. I defend Spo. I'm just saying with how.
I guarantee you couldn't name 10 before you get to Spoelstra.
You're
there's
putting
no
Vogel and Spo in the same. I want to fight you after you say that.
I was just saying that to flat out say top three or four is a push.
Top three would be difficult to make the argument over the past few seasons. I understand he's also working with whatever they give him with, but I'd have a difficult time figuring out top three there.
This is good for ISU because you love it and you go to all the games. He's a crazy. Solano's a great, crazy Heat fan. Take out the Heat Big Three era. Would Spo still be respected like he is?
No, of course not.
No, but you could do that with Phil Jackson. Take out Michael Jordan. Take out Kobe.
Look at the rosters.
I mean, you can't do that.
Because I just thought about, like you said, all these last 3 years, him not playing well, him not being able to figure out how to use a 7'2", you know, double-double machine. There are some questions on Spo. That's all
I'm bringing up. No, he's stubborn. I mean, that's a fair criticism. He's stubborn. But to say he's not a top 10 coach in the NBA, I think is ridiculous.
But the development of a lot of these young guys, getting even a James Johnson a couple years ago, getting what he got out of those guys.
I mean,
is
you
got to
give him credit for that.
It's amazing.
3 o'clock hour is brought to you by Kubota. The Kubota BX80 series is ready to get any job done right. Dig, mow, and haul. There's almost nothing it can't help you do. Find a Kubota dealer near you at gokubota.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.